Hello and welcome to the Commercial Intelligence Briefing brought to you by the National Association of Realtors. I'm your host, Steve Lubetkin. In this program, a conversation about what's next, 2011 trends in social media. Our guest is Ravit Lichtenberg, the head of U Strategy, a consulting company headquartered in San Francisco, California. Her company has clients from startups to international and global corporations, and she specializes in helping companies find new ways to engage with customers. Before starting her consultancy, Ravit worked as a customer experience strategist at Hewlett-Packard, and before working at HP, she advised startups, large retail, financial services, automotive, and high-tech companies on their e-commerce, user experience, and innovation strategies. Ravit holds an MBA from the UCLA Anderson School of Management, and it's a dual degree in a program with the National University of Singapore. Her master's focuses on international business management, entrepreneurship, and leadership. She also holds a master's in human factors and applied experimental psychology from California State University, and she earned a master certification in neuro-linguistic programming. And she's also classically trained in mixed media and art. She joined us from her San Francisco office over Skype. Ravit, welcome to NAR's Commercial Intelligence Briefing Podcast.
Thanks, Steve. It's a pleasure to be here today.
Great to have you. We're going to talk about a few subjects that sort of intersect, so I think the best thing to do is to define a few terms at the beginning. Social media is pretty much a part of everyone's typical workday, so for our purposes, let's just say that we're talking about participating in Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and blogging when we talk about social media, and we'll also talk about how these tools connect with other business tools. So, Ravit, I know you've been forecasting the evolution of social networking for a number of years, and you've had some forecasts that have been right on target. For example, you predicted integration across the board, and that's happening. Why don't you give us your views on how integration is going to continue and maybe what it means, particularly for the commercial real estate practitioners listening to us today?
Sure, happy to. So the integration that we're seeing across solutions, applications, and devices is really an indication that social media and social networking have crossed over to the mainstream. So what was once a piecemeal of solutions, Twitter, Facebook, video, blogging, RSS feeds, hardware, software, all that is becoming integrated into an end-to-end solution that seamlessly brings everything together to offer both companies and individuals a pretty robust experience. So if you think back through the invention of the telephone, for example, the developments we're seeing in social technologies follows a similar thread from clunky, technology-focused single solution to your complete life in a 2x3 inches device. Today, as a professional, for a relatively small budget, often free, you can create a presence online that both draws from and sends information to multiple social destinations using many different communication formats, video among them, and from and to various devices, and at a much lower effort and cost than before.
Now, you know, Ravit, there are tens of thousands of NAR commercial members throughout the country, and many of them are avid users of social networks. We've even had some of them on this podcast. But the level of their use and the level of their experience really runs the gamut. So for the moderate user, I think the interest is starting out with how can I elevate from being just part of the conversation to taking social media to the next level? What are some tips you might give them?
There are a number of tactical things people can do, and there are many resources and tips online on websites such as Mashable and ReadWriteWeb. But before we even get to tactics, it's important to remember that we're not just talking about how to do better on social networks. We're actually talking about how to evolve in what has become a social world, online and offline. And just like there is no recipe in social relationships, there is really no recipe in online social relationships. But there are some guidelines, just like there is a social etiquette. So here are a few things. First, like offline relationships, the only way to elevate being part of a conversation is to actually participate in the conversation. And like most conversations, you start by first listening to what people are talking about and asking about, which then lets you understand what they care about. Once you have a good understanding, you can converse back in a way that's meaningful to the person you're talking to. Second, remember that generosity and openness are part of the game. So sharing articles, tips, ideas is standard. It's expected. This is where you bring value to your audiences. Social search sites like Quora is an example of how openly experts share information, which in return cements their position as subject matter experts even more. Go and check that out and see kind of what people are talking about and asking when it comes to real estate. Third, recognize that the online world doesn't stop here. the real estate community is niche community, and as such has events and gatherings unique to it and to its members. You can now take relationships that you build online to the offline world and vice versa, and in that way maintain and enhance your personal network. I can't tell you how many times I've been approached at a conference by someone who follows me on Twitter, and always with a positive comment and sometimes with a reference to someone who can be my client. That's sort of a win-win when he tells you you're doing relationships the right way.
Ravit, realtors, as you well know, are people who are pretty much all the time on the move. And they were certainly early adopters of smartphones because of the need to be in immediate contact with customers and prospects. And of course, they've become very dependent on numerous apps that they put on their smartphones. That's one link to the integration that you've been talking about. What are some of the things coming next?
Early adopters, by the way, are those who are pushing innovation. So that's a great thing and a great thing to enjoy, knowing that realtors were part of that. As I wrote in the 2011 prediction article, mobile is the gateway to the world and becoming even more that increasingly. So we know that the technologies and infrastructure exist to track where we are at any given time, push notifications and messages to us depending on our location, and help us manage about 90% of our non-productivity activities from our phones. In the coming 2 years, we'll see this trend becoming even more prominent. And it's not unlikely that within a year, you'll be able to set up alerts for buyers to receive information as they drive by properties, complete with agent information, data, videos of the property, as well as many other activities all from your mobile, just like we're seeing in the retail shopping industry. At the same time, buyers will be able to see agent rating, other buyers' reviews, and more information not available before. So this is another important element of social, and it goes both ways. Going back to your first question, Steve, why managing your presence on social network is so important. This is why.
You know, Ravit, commercial brokers are really dependent on relationships for building their businesses. Are there some examples you could talk about where people are leveraging online worlds and online tools to help them manage those relationships better?
Sure. So there are lots of examples, but what I want to start with is the importance of understanding your goals in managing these relationships online. One of the things that I do when I meet with a new client, for example, is we go through goals, desired outcomes, and what they'll consider success. This should be a blueprint for everything we do online. Otherwise, it can consume a lot of time and a lot of effort and not always show results. So if your goal is to create awareness of your services and properties and grow positive reputation, you can imagine how that changes the way you interact online compared to someone whose goal is to acquire new customers or let people know that they've moved from residential to commercial real estate, from San Francisco to San Jose. So here's one example. Guy Kawasaki is a highly regarded ex-Netscape investor, author, and marketing guru. He recently released his new book, Enchantment, which sort of talks exactly about the topic of relationships in the social world and creating influence. To demonstrate how he uses his own principles, Guy tapped his online network, which he has built over the years by providing regular, consistent, free advice to startups and marketeers. And for each network and each type of audience, Guy created a unique message. So if you imagine the concentric circles of our relationships, of his close network, Guy asked that we review his book draft. For his next circle, he asked that people share what they thought online. And then for the wide audience of some 300,000 people on Twitter, Guy just put tidbits from his book, and then they talked about it automatically because they just like what Guy has to say. And then Guy thanked each circle in a different way that was appropriate for them. In addition to becoming the number one book on the New York Times and Amazon book list within the first week after the release, Guy both maintained and enhanced his relationships with his networks in just the right way for them. And these are fundamental principles of relationship and influence building. You don't need to be Guy Kawasaki to build relationship and mobilize your network to take action on your behalf.
So it sounds like if I could boil this down to some key points, success on the internet comes from frequency, relevancy, and sincerity. Would you agree that it's not about immediately being able to point to a completed sales transaction within a given time frame, but more that you are keeping on connecting to people, just as you have office lines with phone calls, you have visits, you have entertainment with clients? Any more ideas along those lines?
No, I'm just absolutely, everything you've said, that's absolutely correct. A broker's online presence may best be viewed as an extension of their overall marketing and branding and relationship practices. Absolutely.
So you did mention that there are differences. when you're communicating online? How do you see it? What are some of the differences people need to be aware of?
Well, there are a couple of things. First, remember that all communication on social networks is public. That's generally a good thing, but it also requires that those communicating are aware of their message's impact on visitors. You can no longer take refuge in the knowledge that a conversation gone badly only took place between four people over lunch. That's just not the situation. Second, you want to be found. So writing for search engine optimization is important. And generally, if you truly understand what your audiences care about, you're doing that already. And lastly, it's important to remember that your network and audiences create content too. Part of online relationship building is about awareness of that content and content that's being created about you or about your field, and figuring out when and where and how to respond to this content and when to not.
Now, I know you've also spoken about the rise in the use of video on the web, and it's a subject that's near and dear to my heart, of course. But again, for brokers, for realtors, it's not something that's new. But in the commercial sphere, let's say, how should an independent broker be considering video as part of their overall marketing mix? Are there tools you see that are useful to someone like that who's running a small business?
Yeah, so video is indeed super important. I mean, if you look at the numbers, we know that in 2010, more than 87% of the online population watched a video. And according to Comscore, in December alone, the average American spent 14 hours watching online videos. So imagine the power that video gives us, and you know that extremely well. That's also very powerful for brokers. Videos are a great tool for showing who you are, for showing properties. It's all visual. So very important to leverage that. We also know that small business or not, you know, the return on video is much higher than text. So various way to utilize video. You can repurpose existing videos that you've already created or that others have created and post them on blogs, social networks, and website. You can syndicate them to social networks, real estate sites, YouTube. You can create a YouTube channel, and you can create custom videos. It's getting much easier to do that. And today we have sort of online editing tool, whether it's integrated into your Apple PC, you're using open source Kaltura for video creation, you're using any of the other video providers, and also on mobile, Kite and so on. And with HTML5, now people can view that on iPads as well and on their mobile. So a lot of the barriers are being removed. Regardless of how you use video, remember that it doesn't have to be super high quality. Some of the most viral videos on YouTube and social networks were made by complete amateurs who infused them with personality and good content. And that includes a 15-year-old Lucas Krishnak who made $15,000 on his videos last year. It may not sound like a lot of money in real estate, but it sure is a sum for a 15-year-old.
And one other aspect of online content, Ravit, is pure data. It seems to me that one of the first things that real estate folks, particularly commercial realtors, think about is immediate access to property listing details as a major element of their overall campaign. Are there any changes you see generally in how people are going to manage data like that?
I think we are in the midst of a data revolution. So from the move to cloud, to social data mining, to the sheer information that today is publicly accessible, definitely a lot of change and happening very fast. This also changes the expectations of data availability. So in the near future, we'll continue to see improvements in depth and accessibility of data across devices with automatic data push by interest or categories, and sometimes even by behavior. We won't have to give requirements or keywords. It'll just come to us based on the searches that we're already doing. On the flip side, too, there's going to be growing use of paywall, like we're seeing in print media. So data is becoming much more accessible. Companies are now figuring out what to do with it and how to leverage that. And it's going to be no exception in real estate.
Ravit, I've also heard some discussion that makes me think of the old acronym, the FUD factor, fear, uncertainty, and doubt, which is something that Microsoft was often accused of injecting into the marketplace. What would your advice be for those who are fearful that they're giving away the store by sharing a lot of content or expertise, or maybe they're wasting their time, or they have the reaction that there's no money to be made by being online?
I think the evidence is sort of out there already. So thought leaders like Guy Kawasaki or Brian Solis and various experts across fields like technology and medical have created a name by sharing information publicly. being able to provide value otherwise not accessible to your customers is what makes you stand out and separates you from the rest. So just keep in mind that whatever you share is public information, and to use corporate business standard terms, if it's not the kind of information you would feel comfortable seeing as a headline in tomorrow's newspaper, it probably shouldn't be sent out anyway. But otherwise, sharing information and providing that readily to your audiences is actually going to make you seem more as an expert and a leader in your field. And that's an important differentiator.
And I guess the follow-up question to that is many business leaders ask, and that is, what's the return on investment? Is it something that we're able to measure at this point, to a return on investment for participating in online networking?
So this goes back to making sure that you are clear about your goals. What do you want to accomplish by being online? Is it relationship building? Is it creating awareness? Is it generating prospects? Some companies or individuals want to use it for sales. Doesn't work so well for sales because usually it tends to be more spammy. But if you're clear on your goals, then you will know also how to measure that. Awareness will be measured by how much people talk about you. Relationship will be measured by how much people engage with you. And you know the cost of preparing flyers and postcards and phone calls and so on. You should be able to kind of translate that dollar to dollar to the benefit. And if you've done that in a structured manner, you'll be seeing a significant ROI on those activities.
Ravit Lichtenberg of U Strategy joined us from San Francisco. Thanks for being with us on the NAR Commercial Intelligence Briefing Podcast.
Thank you, Stephen. Thanks to the listeners. It was a pleasure to be your guest.
Thanks for joining us for another informative Intelligence Briefing Podcast from the Commercial Division of the National Association of Realtors. Join us again for another program in this series. And until then, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you out there on the net. Take good care.